Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Are you merciful? Do you show mercy when people need it? And people say, I'm merciful. I said, oh, you're merciful? Then why did you come to me today to tell me that you're going to divorce your wife? You ain't merciful. Go get right with her. You know? You're still married to her? Yeah, I'm married to her, but I can't live with her no more. I've had it. Or she can't live with me. Something's wrong here. I said, well, go love her. Go start loving her. Love her like you did. How long have you been married? Oh, 30 years. But you can't live with her no longer? No, I can't do it no longer. Oh, that's where you're wrong. You ask God to forgive you. You ask Him to show you how to love that wife. You start pursuing her, being nice and gentle. Take her to dinner. Love her like you did when you first met her, and she'll fall back in love with you. Bear her sins. Walk in love with her. I said, then you won't never be divorced. You go through your life, and then one day when you've married 50 years or 60 years, and you'll say, how long have you been married to this guy? How long? 54 years. He might not have done everything right, but he done something right, didn't he, Esther? Okay. You see, now there's two people that made a commitment 54 years ago. She didn't come in and say, well, if he's a good boy, I'll stay with him. If he's not, I'll throw him away. But see, a lot of them do that today, don't they? And the boys do the same thing. Well, if she don't mess it up, you know, then I'll stay. If she messes up, I'll go throw her away and find me another one. No, when you've been married 54 years, that wasn't the case, was it? No. They made a commitment before God. You think God's happy with this couple? They stayed together 54 years, and if they live another 54 years, they're still going to be married 54 years now, right? Amen. That's the kind of commitment we make. Because God loves it whenever we do that. You know, so you need to make sure that you do what He says. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Somebody says, well, I ain't never saw God. I ain't seen Him yet either. Some says, well, I ain't never heard His voice. Oh, praise God, I have that. We've heard His voice, haven't we, Kim? Kim's heard it. The other day she heard it. I don't know how many times she's heard it. I know, but they've heard it. And I've heard it a lot of times. Cheryl's heard His voice many times, you know. But the thing about it is, you can't never be the same after you hear God's audible voice, can you? Can you, Betty? I love telling her story. I've told this, lots of times when she's here. This girl, she was going to put a computer program together on a spreadsheet with all the formulas to do some kind of taxes or whatever it was with a company she was working for or her own company or whatever it was. And she worked diligently to put all those formulas in there and could not make that spreadsheet work. Wouldn't work under no condition, would it, girl? So she gets down on her knees and she said, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I got to have some help. I'm just going to go to bed and take a good nap, and I'm asking you to show me how to fix this spreadsheet. While she was sleeping, God showed her in a dream every cell and every formula how to put it in there. When she woke up, she put it in, and that thing's still working today, isn't it? Wow. You see? Blessed are the pure in spirit, because they shall see God. It may be in a dream, but you had an encounter with the living God, didn't you, girl? And He showed you how to do that. Just think, how many people fuss and fight and everything else and cuss and everything else and can't get it done and then go out to pay somebody thousands of dollars to figure out what they need to make it work? And all you had to do is pray one simple prayer and be holy. And He just showed up in a dream. And everything was right there. And you plugged in all them formulas and all them cells, and it worked. And it's still working. God's good, isn't He, Bill? He all the time. Wow. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Technically speaking, she saw God that night. You know that? Now, many of you have had encounters like that with God. But He says there in His Word, blessed are those that are pure in heart, for you shall see Me. I'll show you. I'll manifest Myself to you. He does that in many ways to us, His children. Many ways. Now then, 9 and 10. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I remember one time as a deacon was over at Lakeland, and several guys in the deacon meeting got kind of crossways about some stuff. Dr. Ben Smith was our pastor. And I walked in on all this, and I began to, hey, guys, I mean, hey, let's just get this all taken care of. Let's walk in love, you know. And within 15 minutes, I got everybody loving everybody, and everything's going good. And Brother Ben walked up, and he said, guys, Scripture said, blessed are the peacemakers. He said, if I ever saw a peacemaker walk into this place, it was Thurman a while ago. He walked, he said, we were all upset. And he said, he walked in, and he made peace. He said, for they shall be called the children of God. But he said, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, that man right there is a child of God. Wow. He had no idea how kind of an impact that had on me. I didn't know what I was doing. I just walking there trying to make peace. You know? But he knew the Scriptures far better than I did. Blessed are they which are persecuted. I don't like that one. Do you, girl? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Get ready. Get ready. If you're a child of God, I want to guarantee you that in the next year, you're going to be persecuted more than you've ever been persecuted in your life. They're going to take away your freedoms. 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So if we endure the persecution, he said there's going to be a reward. That's going to be forever. 13 and 14. We've got just a couple more verses. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth no good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. When you get a cut, which is an open wound, and you pour salt in it, does it feel good? It sure don't. You know, when I was a kid, we used to do that out on the farm. You get cut, you come home, Mama's going to pour some salt in there because it's going to purge out the evil, right? But it sure did burn, didn't it? But it burned for a little while, but the benefits were good. That's exactly what the Lord tells us we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be salt and light. And you can't be salt if you don't have the salt in you. So you need the salt in you, the Word of God. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're doing. You know, when I walk into an airplane, somebody said, well, I just can't do that. I walk into an airplane, first thing I do, when the host is sitting there, I said, praise the Lord. You're a Christian? I walk around the corner, I say, praise God. I walk down, get in the next row, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. By the time I get to the back, everybody in that place heard me call Jesus' name at least once. And we're supposed to be salt and light? Is that what the king said? As I'm going down them roads, my light's shining. And some people, it's so bright, they can't handle it. But if the king told me to do it, that's what I'm going to do. Right, young man? That's exactly right. Yeah, I'm going to be salt and light. If they don't like it, that's okay. Some of them ain't going to like it. You're the light of the world. City that's set on a hill cannot be hid. 15 and 16. We've got 17 total verses here. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, if we're in this great big old room, and there's only one of us in this place that's a Christian, if there's only one, and that was you, and you had one little candle, and you lit that candle, and we turned out all the lights in this room, there's not a single bit of light coming in from the outside, would you be able to see that one little candle anywhere in this room? You sure could. That's the way we're to be out there in the darkness. We're to be that light. And so the people can see that light and they come to that light and you can share with them what you've learned from God's Word and you can get them set free from that devil. That's what you're to do. Verse 17, the last one. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He come to give us the power to be His children on this earth. And when I read this book, Every time I have a Christian come to me and they say, I am depressed, I've got so many problems, I'm not happy, I can't get along with my mate, or whatever it is, I just have to stand back and say, you don't have a clue who you are in Christ. Behold. In fact, I've got to read you the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 1 before we quit. I want you to meditate on these with me. Ephesians 1, I want you just to see. Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now this is to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, I can see Paul on the hills of Ephesus, standing up on the rock with his arms raised to everybody that'll listen. Look what the next verse says. Look what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with one or two spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Oh, that's not what it said. So when you got saved, how many spiritual blessings belong to you? So what are you grumbling and complaining about? If God gave you everything He had, He dumped the whole thing on you when you got saved, and everything that the Father gave Jesus, He gave it to you, why do we grumble and complain? First of all, I want to ask, why are we out there begging and pleading for something? Why are we acting on what we already have? If He said it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with how many of them spiritual blessings? Ooh. And you think I'm going to get depressed and unhappy? Ain't no way. Every spiritual blessing, salvation belongs to me, healing belongs to me, power over the enemy belongs to me, everything belongs to me. All spiritual blessings belong to me and you. You can see Paul up there on those hills of Ephesus. I can see him standing up there screaming, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're all yours.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Are You a Faithful or Unfaithful Servant? In its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.